Cropod contains language and themes which may not be suitable for anybody.
And secondly, I don't vote because I believe if you vote, you have no right to complain. People like to twist that around, I know. They say, well, if you don't vote, you have no right to complain. But where's the logic in that? If you vote and you elect dishonest, incompetent people, and they get into office and screw everything up, well, you are responsible for what they have done. You caused the problem. You voted them in. You have no right to complain. I, on the other hand, who did not vote, who, in fact, did not even leave the House on Election Day, I'm in no way responsible for what these people have done and have every right to complain as loud as I want about the mess you created that I had nothing to do with. So I know that a little later on this year you're going to have another one of those really swell presidential elections that you like so much. You'll enjoy yourselves. It'll be a lot of fun. I'm sure as soon as the election is over, your country will improve immediately. As for me, I'll be home on that day doing essentially the same thing as you. The only difference is when I get finished masturbating, I'm going to have a little something to show for it, folks. Thank you very much.
Welcome in to some of, well, like I said, I've been promising this for a while. We're getting you new expanded Cropod content. And here's your guide to Cropod Explains America. And the very first one here, my buddy Colin and I, we're going to try to explain elections to you. Hi, Colin.
How you doing, Dave?
Dave.
We're off to a blazing start. Hey, yo, to his credit, it does say David Edgar next to my scrolling thing here. So I'll give you a pass. But okay, Colin, of course, well, tell him who the fuck are you, buddy?
So I'm a Scottish person who lives in Oregon for some reason. I've been super into politics since I was a student. Probably before that. Big labor union fan. And shout a lot on Twitter, occasionally podcast to Australians explaining American politics. So this feels right.
And now, hopefully, the plan with these folks, like, we're going to pick out random shit that, me mostly, I get asked all the time, how the fuck do you guys do this? Or why do you put up with this? Or, well, basically, why do you have so many guns? Is pretty much what 90% of the conversations come down to.
Yeah.
And one of the big ones is, well, how our elections work. And
badly.
Yes.
Badly is all I can gather from, I've lived here like nearly three years. I'm a social studies teacher, and I'm still baffled at times.
It is, it's very much a convoluted system. Of course, right now, well, we're going through primary season for a midterm election, which is basically half of an election before what would they be? Yeah. Over in the UK, they're
like a general or a Scottish. We just know when they're happening. It's fine. Yeah.
I guess, this is kind of like a by-election is how you guys would go with them over there. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a by-election, but like if – you're guaranteed a by-election halfway through an election cycle.
Well,
but only sometimes.
Like right now, this is like the by-election for the by-election. The thing with primaries, this is some. So, Colin, you haven't been able to vote, correct?
No. So, I'm a green card holder, a permanent resident. Y'all can't get rid of me, but I can't vote until I'm a citizen.
So yeah, you got to get up there and say the pledge and take like the Constitution test that eighth graders take and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So you can teach kids about our government, but you can't take part in our government.
So yeah, so it's interesting. I can actually do everything except vote. Like I can give money, no surprises.
Oh yeah, they'll take that. Yes.
Like I can be involved in committees. I can join one of the parties. I just can't vote.
Yeah, so I mean, like I said, the primary elections, I'm sure people over there have caught lists of them. I mean, you know, here in my district, they're pretty mundane. But there were some, like Liz Cheney. You know, we found out this week that a Cheney is not conservative enough or bigoted enough or crazy enough to fit in with the modern Republican Party.
Which is terrifying because it's a woman that disowned her own sister for being gay.
Yeah, and again, the daughter of Dick Cheney, who has killed millions of people in his life. Like, I think the only other person involved in U.S. government in the past 50 years that has a patch on him is Henry Kissinger. Like, those two guys alone, I mean, have wiped the population of pretty good-sized countries off the map in their time.
Yeah, they've certainly done their work. And the fact that, you know, she got beaten so badly, it wasn't even close. It was like 70%.
Yeah.
And actually, one probably a solid comparison for primaries is like the Tory election, the leadership at the moment.
Yep.
Like if I had that for every single.
Yes, for all 435 House seats.
Yes, that'd be if I go to my higher modern studies, like 635 MPs.
Well, okay, yeah. So, I mean, primary. Every 2 years, we get to vote for everybody in the House again, which means typically, you know, you do get a lot of uncontested primary elections. You know, if you got an entrenched candidate in a safe seat, they're not going to have a challenger from within their party. My district here, I'm actually Illinois 17, which was Sherry Bustos' seat, who, for my money, was one of the worst Democrats in Congress. She was anti-union, despite being in a pretty pro-union part of the state here. Just overall not great. So she's gone, and now we have a former weatherman, Eric Sorensen, who's running. Of course, you know, really pushing a climate ticket, trying to come in and be that sort of expert. But we have a system here where in your primary elections, like I go and I get a Democratic ballot, right, tailored to where I live in Rockford. So I've got my Illinois House seat that I get to vote for again. I think there were six Democrats that were running for the right to run in the actual general election in November to take on the Republican in that seat. But then beyond that, I've got primaries for county board. I've got primaries for city council. If the person in my district is up, I had a primary for the fucking coroner, right? We vote for the coroner.
Like, in this county. That's what fucking blows my mind. Like, how? So, like, my wife said, I looked at her, she's a registered Democrat, and we get, like, it's like a mini yellow pages.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how, like, I'm interested in politics, and I barely care about bits of this.
Yeah.
Like, why are we voting for a coroner?
Yep. Well, to be fair, here, our former coroner was selling dead bodies of unclaimed people. So yeah, that's why we're doing it this time around. But
I mean, okay, right. See, every time I ask a question about America, someone responds with an answer. I'm like, of course. Yeah, no, I mean that. Yeah. That's
yep. Oh, man. But no, I mean, this is the primary ballot. Now, we did ours in June. They're still going on. Again, you do get some big ones like Cheney's there. And again, you know, I mean, just to put a dot on this, Liz Cheney, much like Adam Kinzinger, who Rockford's basically cut in half. So the east side of town, which is the white side of town, is a Republican district, no shock. Whereas the west side of town, which is predominantly blacks and Hispanics and, well, me, is the Democratic district. And
it's been that way. Just out of curiosity.
No. Well, I mean, yeah, you know, the town's kind of split into a quadrant, basically. US 20 goes east to west, and Illinois 2 goes north to south. But, you know, there's a river in the middle, is what
there we go.
Is. Yes. Yes.
So there's always something.
Yeah. So, I mean, you get the primaries, right? And this is, again, I mean, low engagement, low civic engagement, and part of the problem, like Colin said, and I can personally attest to, you go into these booths, like I have to vote for my Democratic precinct member, which is the person who goes around and tells you to vote. That's on the ballot. That was a contested race this year. And I want to say, let's see, there's 14 precincts in my town. I think it was contested in 8. So in 8 precincts, you had to actually vote for the person who comes around and tells you to vote in November. That's how ridiculous this
At that point, is. I'm like, I don't care.
I mean, I felt bad because I had a very good friend of mine who was running for this position in a different precinct than I've been. And she said, make sure. I was like, Marge, one, I don't give a shit. I'm sorry. I don't care about this position. but two, I'm not in your precinct. And I don't think, I didn't even know. But I was like, I don't think anybody's running in mine. She goes, no, a friend of ours. She goes, Kathy is. I go, okay, but she's running unopposed. She goes, yeah. I said, okay, don't give a shit then. She goes, well, yeah, but she still needs 14 votes. I was like, I'm pretty sure 14 people will get that far down the ballot and just fill in the little circle next to Kathy's name. So, but again, this is the ludicrous nature of our primary voting system.
Wild.
I mean, how do you try to explain this to kids in your class? I mean,
we don't tend to get as far down as the precinct manager, thankfully. It's usually pretty high level. But, even like school board, we have to, that's an important one to talk to the kids.
Yes,
about.
Yeah.
And the fact that we elect people who don't have any educational experience to manage our schools. It's just nonsense to me as a teacher.
Look at what's going on in Texas. These things get hijacked now. And these, this is one of the things that the Republican Party has focused on, or laser sighted on over the past decade. All right, fine. We'll go after these real, most of government happens at the local level, country. And they have taken over school boards and county boards and city councils and shit like that to implement these kind of policies. And I'm sure, people have this idea of Oregon as, like Portlandia. But as I'm sure you can attest to, there are a hell of a lot of fucking racists in Oregon.
Oh, yes. Yeah, we've got sure. So I did my master's in Texas. I taught in Texas before I came up here. And I have friends there who are like, come and take my license, Greg. come into my classroom and stop me protecting trans kids.
Yeah.
And it's just that, it's that thin edge of the wedge that they always do. They're just good at it. They're better than us.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and of course, this week they had the, vote for the leopard that will chew your face off party moment. Because, of course, they're trying to ban pretty much every goddamn book in any book of any relevance anywhere ever in the history of things. I think Todd gave us an onion headline of the week on the Crow Pod this week, which was Texas. What was it? Deletes everything from Huck Finn except for the N words.
Yeah.
But in one district down there, they put this motion up on their school board to effectively ban every book that had ever been challenged by someone in the district. Of course, the problem being that the Bible had been challenged at some point. And now they're going, oh my God, the libs came for the Bible. No, you guys did this yourselves.
These are the ones that they banned the Diary Anne Frank as well.
Yes.
It's brilliant. Because you're right. They get so angry at the left and it's like, we have nothing to do with this.
No. Nope. And again, we vote for all this stuff. This is the crazy stuff at the local level that we have to go through. And we go through this every 2 years, no matter what. There is a primary election every 2 years. And then, we're going to take a quick break. And now we're going to try to explain general elections. These are the ones, especially in the UK, that you guys might actually pay attention to sometimes. So quick break. We're going to come back and do that. All right, welcome back to the first episode of CrowPod Explains America. I don't know how good me and Colin are doing at it, but if you do like it, you go down there in the show notes. There's a Buy Me a Coffee link. Click on that. If you're one of the Rangers fans listening to this, of course, you get entered. Every time you do it, you get entered to win some stuff from the famous, our good buddies over there. So
good positive stuff.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. So general elections. Now this is the stuff, again, I think most of you people will know. These are the ones in November, right? Well, sadly, again, in my case, Rockford's general election for city seats is actually in April. Our primary elections are in June. And then, of course, we have the state and nationwide general elections in November. So it's some years I have to vote three fucking times.
Oregon is, or certainly Eugene is largely the same. And I have a feeling our council, our local like council elections are in the off year as well. So I feel Stacey voted.
Yep, ours are in the odd year. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's typically the March or April after a general election. So again, I mean, think about the civic engagement. I mean, again, you're a social studies teacher. I mean, how the hell do you even begin to teach this? You know, we talk all the time in this country about not enough people going out to the rolls. When the fuck do you vote? Nobody fucking knows. And then beyond that, even our biggest one, we put it on a Tuesday, which is the most annoying day of the week to try to take time off of work, right? You're already, like, a Monday, you can come in late. A Friday, you can leave early. A Tuesday? Fuck that. Fuck that. I mean,
UK is always a Thursday, and it's slightly better, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, given how much you people love a public holiday and a random day of the week, I don't understand why you can't switch one of your 800 in the year to that day.
Well, you know, this comes back, and this is going to be a theme that we're going to cross over and over again. Of course, Republicans don't want that anymore because the quest of the Republican Party and the John Roberts Court specifically, and I'm sure this will be a future episode, is just the absolute decimation of people just being able to vote, right? They want to make this as difficult as humanly possible for people to even show up and cast a ballot.
So going back to your earlier point, it is really hard to teach kids about how, because I have to say, like, the kids I teach are and were amazing. You know, they are super engaged. They're way more engaged than I ever was. Like, I didn't give a fuck when I was like 16. These kids are solid. Like, you saw that when they leaked, like, not only the credit card details, but nudes of the Supreme Court justices. Like, I would not fuck with these little motherfuckers. But it's hard because you're right. It, like, three times a year, it puts stuff that really is hard to care about.
Yeah.
And when you get that apathy, you're like, well, you know, how do you get people out to vote when it really matters? Like, November and the generals.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's, you know, our mayor here is a good buddy of mine, Tom McNamara. He won every single precinct in town back when he won the office. There's 84 voting precincts within the precincts, right? That's the other thing too. There's precincts within precincts, just in case you weren't confused already. He won all 84, but only, I think the turnout of the electorate, again, that this is an election held in late March or early April. So what, 5 months after a general election, was about 14%. I want to say so. One out of seven people that can vote did in a city of 150,000 people.
I mean, I get that. Bank of Finland, like, I understand that, which is weird because it is so important at local levels. Yep. It's more important than Scotland.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, over there, your national party still kind of dictates how things function at the council level, from how I've gathered. But over here, I mean, like. There's been a lot of calls and say, you know, Rockford's done this. I mean, the mayor before this, Larry Morrissey, 12 years mayor, 12 years a mayor. He could make a movie about that. But he ran as an independent, and part of his thing was, look, we don't national party politics don't matter at the local level. The problem is when you let them persist, you get the shit like in Texas, where you have these psychos going in and instigating this national, you know, ALEC,
which is a legislative body of the right wing, the extreme right wing, who goes in and manufactures these kind of grievances to create these school board elections to get people felt like, oh my God, they've got men in high heels and fucking wigs coming in to read to your kids. No, they fucking don't. That's not, what are you talking about? Like this, this shit isn't happening, but they manufacture this grievance. And because people don't pay attention at the local level, it's easy to fire up dipshits to get them to get out and win an election with very few people.
I mean, it's the thing that they do so well is that they get angry about shit that just doesn't happen or doesn't matter. Like we, by comparison, you can't take a handgun into or any weapon into schools here in UD. Yep. The school board proposed banning weapons from all campuses. So, like, even if you're picking up your kid, before you could take it on hand on school grounds, but you couldn't go into the building. They were now saying if you're picking up your kid and get out your car, you have to leave your weapon in your car. Seems sensible.
Yeah,
like I can't imagine any gun owner that's like, yeah, no, that seems fair. 10 mentalists appeared at the school board meeting, threatening thousands of rounds in minutes.
Yeah,
it's like, all right, so now we're gonna have to go and like deal with this because you guys can't behave.
Yeah, those local meetings, man, I tell you. I mean, the amount of city council meetings, school board meetings, county board meetings I've sat in, where again, like you said, I mean, you can have three absolute fucking nutters come in and somehow dictate the entire mood of a meeting. Well, you know, they represent so few people, so few people. And again, this is part of the Republican plan here because, I mean, they're a minority party nationwide. I cannot stress this enough, right? I mean, only one Republican has won the popular vote for president in the last, what, five times they've won the office, right? Yeah.
A really good point for the Scottish listeners. Like, we don't have first past the post. Like, we don't vote like a normal country here.
No, absolutely not. And look, we'll get into a whole... we'll do a whole episode about the Senate and the Electoral College and how these things should fucking go away and how they're just vestiges of a horribly racist country that's still holding on to that part of its past or at least part of it is. Because again, the Republican, I mean, it's a minoritarian rule situation. And all they've done is figure out in the past 50 years how to exploit little parts of the voting apparatus or remove parts of the voting apparatus via the courts so that they can hold on to power. I mean, up the road here in Wisconsin, right, I think by and large, I mean, Democrat almost always wins presidential election, but statewide and in statewide votes, Democrats routinely get around 58 to 63% of the total votes cast. Yet, they've only got 31% of the representation in the Wisconsin state legislature. That's how fucked this system is. And this we're talking about the general elections, you know, the Democrats v. Republicans that we get every November. That's how fucked this system is. This is the gerrymandering that we talk about all the time that has created systems by which I mean, to be fair, though, I mean, the entire country is effectively gerrymandered. I mean, Wyoming, again, to go back to Liz Cheney, only has one representative, right? Illinois has 18, I want to say. And it's based on population. They only have one representative. They're one of seven states that only has one representative. But all seven of those states all have two U.S. senators. And with one exception, I want to say, I think it's only Rhode Island, with two exceptions. So five out of the seven are Republican-controlled states. Yep. That right there is 10% of the power of the Senate vested in about 1.5% of the entire population.
Yeah, it's wild. The other one thing that popped in there is Massachusetts, which I was like super blue state, Republican governor.
Yep.
Yeah, and that also, you know, was Wisconsin Scott Perry. Scott Perry now.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry, Scott Walker. Scott Walker.
Scott Walker.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the lazy eyed fucking moron. Yes.
He was fucking wild.
Yeah.
Like, he was wild conservative.
Insanely anti-labor. I mean, he was one of the ones, like, what you're seeing from the conservative and Republican Party at a national level now, he was like the trial balloon for that. Like, how much shit can we get away with?
Yeah, and it just slides, because, again, you're right. Like, I don't know who my state representative is. like at the state level or my center. I know Pete DeFazio in Oregon 4 for the national, and he's retired because he's about 100. And he's been replaced by Val Hoyle, who was our commissioner for labor. Okay. She's fine, but yeah. Like she's more of the centrist same.
Yep.
So the only benefit is she's up against a guy called Alex Skirlatos, who I don't know if you remember this years ago, there was a US serviceman stopped a terrorist attack on a train in Paris.
Oh yeah.
That motherfucker.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was him and two of his buddies, right? Weren't they like doing a grand tour kind of a thing?
And he played the Office of Heroes. Like, mate, of all the people, that's literally what you were trained for.
Yeah.
Like, that's like John Smeaton running in like Glasgow Central. Like, stopped a terrorist. Like, actually, fair enough. Yeah, you did kick a man.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, the Scott Walker, here's another perfect example, and this is part of the thing. This is how fucked up our elections are, right? I mean, to stay on this one. Scott Walker gets defeated in Wisconsin as governor. There's a Democrat going in, and on his way out the door, again, with the help of a state legislature, this is not at the federal, this is not in Washington, D.C., this is at the state capitol in Madison, Wisconsin, and again, in a state that about, I want to say in that election was 61% of votes cast statewide were for Democrats. But again, Republicans win about 70% of the seats in the legislature and also the Supreme Court, because that's elected in Wisconsin. On Walker's way out the door, signs a bunch of bills, basically removing all power from the governor and giving it back to the legislature. Right now, what do you think is going to happen if somehow the Democrats take the legislature in a general election and a Republican governor is elected at the same time, though? Exact same opposite things. They're going to pass all these laws through the legislature to hand power back to the governor right when Tony Evers is about to leave office. So it's wildly fucked. And I can't, like I said, the ballots in a general election, like I was talking about precincts and all this shit, but the ballots in a general election are where usually your referendums and all this kind of shit comes up. And I swear to Christ, man, Colin, it's like a broadsheet newspaper page, double-sided with fucking, I don't even know. We have a thing over here called ballot fatigue, right? You'll hear this come up in November because they're so fucking long. You just can't pay attention long enough to sit there and fill them out.
I mean, obviously, referendum's probably a terrible word to be using on a podcast that Rangers fans listen to. But, I get it. Like, and we're not quite so bad here, I don't think, but like, I'm fascinated by the fact that if you get enough signatures, you can put pretty much anything up for a referendum.
Yep. Like, it's, I don't know. So, CrowPod Explains America. Hopefully, you have a little bit of an understanding of how our election system works. I still don't get it. I'm 38 years old. I've been voting for 20 fucking years. And there's still some times where it blows my fucking mind. I can't imagine being in your position. I mean, I talked to my brother about this because, you know, he's a like late middle school teacher. So like to the age where kids are starting to become more civically engaged.
He's a brave man.
As you say, oh, God. I mean, at least he does it in a wealthy district. But
he's a braver man. Trust me. I would rather teach those.
Yeah, but well. Kids. Yeah, and he's doing it in Florida now. So he's,
lots of prayers.
Yep. Sorry, Winnie. I mean, trying to teach this system to kids. Look, I'm trying to explain it to you. Me and Colin are here trying to explain it to you guys, a bunch of ostensibly adults. You know, it's questionable at times with the listeners to our programs. But imagine, like I said, trying to explain this to kids. Good. God, this voting system, and God help you, Colin, once you finally join the ranks. I Godspeed, man.
I mean, what's that thing you guys did, taxation without representation?
Yes.
Know what you're built on? No step on snack.
Yeah. Well, it was in Washington, D.C., of course. Again, I'm sure this will be another episode later. Washington, D.C. doesn't have actual representation, despite being bigger than any of those seven states I mentioned earlier. And they put that back on their license plate, taxation without representation, during Trump's presidency. He famously, of course, wouldn't put it on the limousine, but yeah, I guess. But yeah, anyway,
that's another like episode entirely.
No, we got plenty of these in the bag, folks. Trust me. And like I said, we're gonna try to keep them a little short, a little sweet. Fire through as much as we can. We're more than welcome to answer questions on Twitter and everything. Colin, where the fuck do they find you?
You can find me at Don't Tell Col on Twitter, where I will absolutely offend with my incredibly left-wing posts. So,
I think anyone listening to me talk about politics by now is probably mostly aligned with that. I think the listeners have learned, look, I can listen to Shane about football, or I can listen to him about politics. Some can do both, but there's many that cannot.
But yeah, that Don't Tell Call, and you can find us at Don't Tell Americans on, sorry, Don't Tell the Pilot on your podcasts.
Cool. Yeah, I will put, again, but those links will be down here in the show notes. You can find them there. Of course, you can find me at Avoid. And again, if you like everything Crowpod, hit the Buy Me a Coffee link. We will try to put out, I think, you know, Colin, might be good. We'll put out a poll every once in a while of ideas and let you guys pick what the fuck you want us to explain, because there's so much shit. There's so, whether it's guns or how our sports work or fucking, I don't
fucking
know.
Fucking cereal ale?
Yeah. No, that shit's mental. Oh my God. Well, the way, the way the eyes line up with like 4 year olds as they're walking down the aisle and shit, it's terrifying. Good. It's terrifying. It's a weird fucking country, folks. This is how we end up with likely two dead men as president back to back. It's a Weekend at Bernie's situation over here, I think David called it. So that's it. Yeah. Colin, thank you, buddy.
All right. Thank you, Shane. Pleasure as always, my friend.
We'll talk soon, and that's it. We'll be back for more Crowpod Explains America later. Bye.
Some people call me the space cowboy.